Hello, everyone. I'm Bob Peterson, Group President at Sedgwick. I'd like to begin by thanking all of our listeners for taking time out of your day to join us for the first ever Sedgwick-hosted virtual RIMS Week. I'm here with my good friend and longtime professional colleague, Dave Eric, who is the Assistant Treasurer and Global Risk Manager at International Paper. Hi, Dave. How are you doing today?
Hi, Bob. I'm well. Thank you. And hello to all of our listeners out there. I'd like to echo your sentiments by thanking everyone for their interest in our topic and for joining our podcast today. I'm thankful that Sedgwick decided to host this virtual RIMS Week and provide a platform that allows us to continue to support the risk management community. It's actually my first time ever doing a podcast as a co-host or a speaker.
Thanks, Dave. Well, I think, as you know, Sedgwick's marketing team is pretty creative, and a year without RIMS just didn't feel right. I honestly can't recall missing a single RIMS since the start of my career. And while that may sound frightening to some, and not to age either of us, but let's just say I'm well into the double digits on my number of consecutive years that I've attended RIMS. And I think that begins with a 2 and nearly a 3. Many of them has included a live session with you.
Oh, you're right. We have presented a time or two over the years. And it's always a highlight of the week for me, a close second to the Wednesday night party.
I'm going to say that's true. I don't know that I can necessarily fully compare it to the Wednesday night Sedgwick RIMS close event. But anyway, before we dive into our topic, executive perspectives, global trends, and issues impacting risk management, I did want to mention that if you haven't had a chance, please listen to the welcoming and opening keynote podcast from our president and CEO at Sedgwick, Dave North, and the RIM CEO, Mary Roth, on resiliency, recovery, and risk management. Dave and Mary do an outstanding job kicking off Sedgwick's virtual RIMS week, and it's really worth the listen. In addition, there are so many other scheduled podcasts, and this is really fun stuff. The Wellness Center, Therapy Pets, make a visual appearance or two as well. So Dave, like you, this medium is a first for me as well. I can't say that I ever even considered co-hosting a podcast until a few weeks ago. But if I did, you would have been my go-to co-host, and I really appreciate your adventurous attitude and being open-minded about it. So how about you? What do you think? You feeling like moonlighting and hosting a weekly podcast that you haven't told me about?
Not currently, Bob, but depending on how this goes, you never know. In all seriousness, though, when we first started our planning sessions for this topic, it was our usual on-stage, in-person format with PowerPoint slides. And now hosting a podcast hadn't occurred to me at all. But as you said, a year without RIMS just doesn't seem right. I'm glad we had this opportunity. A lot really has changed in a very short time, and it's a very different world than when we started planning for RIMS. We're learning to adapt and find innovative ways to continue to do what we do.
You know, Dave, but what you just said is just absolutely spot on. We're weeks into the new normal and adjusting to these changes. It's still a daily struggle for many, many people. With that, you and I would be remiss if we didn't start our session by acknowledging that everyone's recent priority and ultimate focus has been and continues to be how to navigate during the COVID-19 pandemic. This includes both professional and personal adjustments. And as everything changes so quickly these days, how do we open the economy, reopen the economy, get it back up and running, and how do we get everyone back to business?
Absolutely. And being in risk management actually puts many of us in a very unique and somewhat different situation than we've probably ever been viewed in our careers. As an example, just recently there was an article published by Bloomberg called Risk Manager, Suddenly a Hot Job.
And you know, I've always thought risk management was hot. But hey, I guess that's time for a different podcast or a different conversation. I don't mean to digress, Dave.
I don't disagree. What the article highlights and goes on to discuss really is true. That risk management is a complicated and multifaceted discipline. While our profession has gained more spotlight over the years, it can still be undervalued and underfunded until the time of a crisis. And unfortunately, that might just be too late. Obviously, for most of us, it's our first global pandemic, and hopefully our last. Depending on the geographic makeup of your company, some might have prior learnings from, say, SARS or 2008 to a lesser extent, Ebola, but this pandemic is far more impactful. I believe there isn't a single risk manager in this country or globally that hasn't been affected by COVID-19. Many, many lessons have been learned, and I believe will have a profound impact and ultimately reshape risk management, and specifically business continuity, crisis management, and disaster recovery for the future as we continue to work our way as a society back to a new normal.
Yeah, it's really unprecedented times, and it's certainly my first up-close and personal experience anything like this. So given our topic and everyone's focus, in addition to the abbreviated time allowance, so to note, we went from an hour live session to 20 minutes, and this topic does have significant legs and is noteworthy. Today's conversation, we're going to keep at the very macro level, and we'll cover our topics with a very broad brush. As Dave noted, in January, our outline for this session looked slightly different, but we're going to take elements that we intended to discuss, shuffle them around a bit, and apply the different pieces to the current climate that we're facing today.
Yeah, I remember one of our first planning sessions, and as we were brainstorming candidly, pandemic planning with coronavirus penciled in parentheses was just one bullet under crisis management. We had no idea what we were about to experience as individuals or families, friends, coworkers, and the changes to our work environment.
No, that's really well said. And speaking personally, you know, and I know many others, I certainly didn't appreciate where we're at, what was to come. And to your point, in early January, there were only a few hundred confirmed cases, mostly in Wuhan, China. By the end of January, after the World Health Organization declared a public emergency, the number of cases exploded to nearly 12,000 confirmed.
Right. And by the end of January, COVID-19 had spread in neighboring Asian countries, Europe, and the U.S., first reported in Seattle and then Chicago. Tracking the numbers was really spotty at that time, and currently we're sitting at over 3 million cases worldwide.
Yeah, and it's just mind-boggling how the numbers grew so quickly. And while we're still going to address global trends and issues impacting risk management, this topic has such relevancy for our audience, given that all has been mentioned. There's so many different aspects that we could cover, but I think we agree that these three broad lanes apply to every company, kind of every vertical, no matter your size, your industry, your geographic location, or many other defining characteristic. They are, one, business continuity, crisis management, disaster recovery. General category, companies may call it by one of these names, possibly by all being a subcomponent of the other. The real meaning, whatever term you use to plan for the unknown, overcome the current situation at hand, return to normal business, if at all possible, and then to use that information and the lessons learned for future consideration. Secondly, we'll insert talent, the heart and soul of most organization. Talent is just genuinely how everything really gets done, how the work done. And finally, technology. In today's world, there's very little that doesn't absolutely critically depend on technology. And Dave, a few minutes ago, you referenced our first planning session in crisis management. I recall that you and the IP team were in the midst of your business continuity management planning as your usual business function, but perhaps more focus on addressing the now pandemic.
That's right. Yes, we were. Business continuity management and resilience is a fundamental at IP, and we have a large working group from all different parts of the company that meet on a regular basis to talk about a lot of different topics like supply chain management, natural disasters, changing workforce demographics, trade agreements, even the possibility of a pandemic. And in this short time, the needle's moved from the possibility of a pandemic to real life. So I have to stop and ask myself and everyone listening, how well prepared were we? Did we look closely enough at the potential issues beyond supply chain management or cyber risks or other likely possibilities? I'd venture to guess that most everyone will say we're probably not as ready as we should have been.
You know, Dave, I absolutely agree with you on that. In my role, it's not only how Sedgwick is handling things, but also how to assist and provide value to our clients, you know, during this time, this critical area. Given our position in the industry, being nimble and innovative is key to being a partner. And even more than that, being equipped, being ready to provide solutions to clients for forthcoming challenges, it's expected of us, right? And just as an example, one of our first actions at Sedgwick was to open a hotline to take overflow calls and provide crisis care information for clients that needed that help to address uncertainties and answer questions about their leave policies and practices in this COVID era.
Well, that's great, Bob. And to your point, business continuity and crisis management applies across the board to all companies and should include many of the same broad topics. However, what your crisis might look like really is unique to your company's business. And you bring up another great point. As risk managers, we need to understand our available resources, not only for pandemic planning, but for really any risk you're trying to manage. So is it your TPA, broker, carriers, your industry peers? I mean, most likely it's a combination of all those and more. If you want to learn about how something has been handled before by other companies, industry publications are a great resource and can provide valuable insight. And if you're a RIMS member, there are white papers, webinars, and other resources such as blogs that can provide recent and current information. And when the need is real-time, platforms such as Opus offer peer-to-peer discussion forums.
We are absolutely all in this together and should be taking advantage of all these great available resources. Don't try to do this on your own. Use your experts. Use these resources. You know, Dave, so to your point of crisis uniqueness for each company, if you had a crystal ball, if you knew in advance this is coming, do you have any specific things you would have seen or been able to know about?
While this is not yet in our rearview mirror by any stretch, I think there are a number of learnings, good and bad, along the way. A major plus is seeing our prior investments in business continuity bear fruit during this crisis. And at the same time, I believe many of us found that we weren't adequately prepared or equipped for what we are now knowing to be social distancing.
Yeah, I think everyone here would agree. And it feels as if, and we genuinely are, we're writing a new best practice playbook every day, given what we're finding and experiencing, and we're editing it as we go. Just really, really, really something. So we mentioned earlier talent is one of the key areas that we wanted to address. And every company has talent and the changing demographics that go accordingly, whether it's an aging workforce, how to address millennials, a talent shortage. Many of these have been a hot topic or a key topic for some time. What challenges have you experienced, Dave, in regard to talent?
Well, Bob, in our industry, pulp and paper, there's a large portion of our work, mainly at the manufacturing sites, that just can't be done remotely. So I'd say this is a known risk, but I'm not sure how anyone would plan for redundancy when that work site or even the third or fourth site down the line is also affected.
No, that's absolutely right. And the added factor, what about an individual's willingness to continue work outside of their home? You know, their individual needs, their sensitivities, potential health issues that they may be at a higher risk or being compounded, just thinking of a few.
Yes, absolutely. So how do you take care of an individual considering what you mentioned, while at the same time managing how it might impact productivity or our ability to meet customer demands and ultimately how it affects our bottom line?
All really good points, Dave. You know, and Sedgwick as a company does provide the services that can be handled, remotely on a remote basis or away from a big office or a site. However, we still have to address an individual colleague's needs to the best of our ability.
Right. And in the case of IP, like Sedgwick, while a smaller percentage of our workforce can work remote, the technology challenges present an added layer of complexity.
Now, without question, and you mentioned technology, another one of the key areas kind of moving into our third point. There's so many spokes to this, so intermingled with other components. You really can't talk about talent or technology as separate topics when changing people's work environment virtually happened overnight. And that's what all of us had to do, right? I mean, one Wednesday, it was the top of everyone's mind, and by Monday, it was a reality.
I agree. So many companies were and may still be faced with not only how to deploy equipment such as laptops and internet connectivity alternatives, but also how to swiftly increase capacity. You take VPN accessibility as a relatively common example where companies might have routinely operated at a capacity of 25% or so, and now you have to support a much higher percentage of your workforce with very little time to do so. And then, as you mentioned, how do you manage individual situations and needs and the different demographics and culture of your workforce, and how they interact with changing technology. And as part of that, how do we continue to collaborate to solve challenges, develop new solutions? There's so many available software tools, but there's an adjustment period and an adoption curve that comes along with deploying such tools across an entire workforce.
Yeah, right on. And not to mention the added piece of some people's uncertainty of working from home, you know, adjusting to this new normal era that we find ourselves in. Change in their current routine, change in life in general, right? Kids are at home, and maybe for us, again, not to age us here, Dave, we don't have elementary age children at home, and this adjustment may not have been as significant or dire for us. But many families, there's the added stress of juggling a full-time career, being a full-time teacher to your children, and some even further, unfortunately, are also coping with lost income as part of this situation.
Right. And how many of us had the crystal ball that could foresee such a change? As you said, this will rewrite the playbook for future risk management considerations. It really has been a trifecta of challenges.
You know, so Dave, in conclusion, I think we can safely say, you know, no previous experiences could have fully prepared us for what occurred and for how swiftly this all took place.
I couldn't agree more. We've all been deeply affected, and I know we'll come through this crisis with improved resilience and probably a newfound appreciation for exposures that weren't fully recognized in the past. We just have to continue to plan and to adapt and rethink solutions as we look to the future.
You know, Dave, I think we could spend an entire day on this subject. Personally, I've really enjoyed catching up with you and hearing your point of view and some of the things you're doing at IP. Like you, I'm looking forward to a new normal, and that would certainly include being on stage with you live at RIMS 2021 in Chicago.
I know, right, Bob? I just hope that we aren't faced with another crisis of this magnitude before then. In the meantime, I'd encourage my fellow risk managers to make business continuity and crisis planning a priority, especially in times of non-crisis. And if possible, have conversations with your C-suite or at least your own boss so you aren't working in a vacuum, and try to put yourself in a value-add position that elevates you as a trusted business partner even during non-crisis times. Networking within your company to ensure you have others' input and consider their priorities as well.
You know, you really can't go wrong, and that is the ideal approach, Dave.
Great. And I also feel as a professional community, there's no better time to find more ways to support and grow the educational opportunities for future risk managers and the insurance industry. We should actively support building risk management majors at universities, as well as requiring risk-related courses for other disciplines as well. This really is a job that spans the whole of an operation and requires team collaboration and buy-in to be successful.
You know, and thanks to the efforts of organizations like the Spencer Foundation, I really do believe we can make that a reality. And while this has been a life-changing experience, there is some good to be noted, and the heightened awareness of the value of risk management is one of them. You know, with that, Dave, thank you so much. Thank you again to all of our listeners as well. We appreciate you and continue to look forward to the future and getting back to business and back to normal. And please remember to visit the Sedgwick Virtual RIMS Week site for more informative sessions delivered by like-minded, top-notch professionals.
Thanks to you, Bob, and as well as our listeners. This has been an awesome experience for me, and I'm pretty sure I prefer the live format, except right now I'm wearing shorts instead of a suit and tie.
That's funny, Dave, because I'll tell you, I'm in shorts and a polo shirt as well. Hey, thank you, everyone. Stay well and stay safe.